Thank you. who is blissfully immersed in Bhakti Ras and who derives happiness from embracing the rasa-laden body of Srimati Radhika, may that Sri Jagannath Dev be the object of my vision. I do not pray to Jagannath for a kingdom, nor for gold, jewels, wealth, or even for a beautiful wife, as desired by all men. My only prayer is that Sri Jagannath Dev, whose splendid glory is always sung by Shiva, be the constant object of my vision. O Master of the demigods, quickly deliver me from this worldly existence. O Lord of the atoms, purge me of my limitless host of sins. I hold you a promise to bestow your feet upon the fallen and shelter us. O Jagannath Swami, please be the object of my vision. One who carefully recites the sacred Jagannath Dashtakam upon becoming sinless and pure-hearted will obtain entrance into Vaikuntha. That is the benediction. That's good. I thought that since we're having Jagannath Rath Yatra Festival, it's good to prepare. Tomorrow is early Sankirtan Day.
Yeah.
And then the day after is Rath Yatra, so we don't have that much time. And there's this verse here, we can sing that verse. As I'm trying to avoid reading that very small print on the one volume, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here is a computer that is chapter 1, verse what?
76.
And this is this theme of Rath Yatra is both one of separation and meeting, and this concept of separation is something that's quite integral to our own development of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, before we go on, Om Gyan Gyan Gyan
Gyan Gyan Shakya Shashurmi Kamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama
Yara Shri Krishna Jyana Kamyena Tasmai spirit by which one does something, and it also also corresponds to our aspiration. And when Srila Prabhupada would cite Sat Goswami Astakam, Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kumpano, and particularly when the author there is saying, Eirade, Prajabini Kirichalite, and Prabhupada would point out that the Goswamis, who are our acharyas, their mood of Krishna consciousness is always searching for Krishna, searching for Krishna's associates, for Srimati Radharani. This idea that I've met Krishna, I'm having darshan of Krishna, is really not suitable for practicing devotees. It's not a safe platform. It can very easily lead to misunderstandings, and the misunderstandings can lead to deviating actually from the path of Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, the mood of separation is a very safe situation because you don't make up any idea that you're more advanced than what you are, and which is very important, because when someone thinks that they're having an experience that is not a transcendental experience, but they mistake it to be that, then they fool themselves in terms of what Krishna consciousness is. And of course, this idea of thinking that I'm more than what I am is antipathetic to being humble. When you think that you're something, then you can't think that you're nothing. And Krishna consciousness thinks means that we're less than nothing. So finality sunichina means that you're less than nothing. And that becomes the real qualification for spiritual advancement. And so, where is Krishna, or that I'm separated from Krishna, which is a mood that's expressed not only by practicing devotees, but it's also what perfected devotees express. Now, in terms of we'll get to this verse in a minute. In terms of Rath Yatra is a very instructive festival. It also has a mood. So aside from cooking prasadam to sell to the people and putting on a stage program and dancing and so many other things, there's also meant to be a mood to all of this. Of course, one underlying aspect of that mood is that we're doing this to preach and to give Krishna consciousness to others, and ultimately to please Lord Jagannath. But there's also more than that. There's also the devotee's personal understanding of what's going on. And Rath Yatra is a good opportunity to connect with Jagannath's mood of separation. Because this form of Krishna, Lord Jagannath, is Krishna experiencing separation, which is very different, but at the same time very similar to devotees' feelings of separation. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the emblem of devotees' feelings of separation. And that's why Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very essential scripture. In one sense, it's more essential than Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if we try to approach Srimad Bhagavatam directly, then we may very easily fall into those sort of pitfalls and mistakes that I mentioned earlier, that we're having some kind of direct relationship or exchange with Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is approaching Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam through his mood of separation. And therefore, when we understand Bhagavatam through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and with a similar mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, which is the mood of a devotee. Of course, it's the most exalted mood, and the symptoms of, or the expressions of those moods of separation are, some of them are not available to anyone. They're just the prerogative of Srimati Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but there are others, and the general spirit or the general flow of that mood is something that's appreciable to all Vaishnavas. And therefore that becomes the way. That's why Chaitanya Charitamrita is in that sense very important. In terms of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, you cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam unless you go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That may be obvious since Prabhupada wrote a 40-odd page introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, which is all about Lord Chaitanya. So it's because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, we never do anything directly. We never think that we have direct access, but we're always going evam parampara praptam. We're always going through parampara. So I just want to start with this verse, which is right in the very beginning of the Madhya Lila. And Anjya Lila is, the Adi Lila is more or less establishing the philosophical foundation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then it talks about Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes. In brief, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami only summarized those pastimes since Vrindavan Das Thakur described them in extensive detail. So these are the two really most authorized biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's others, which is Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was originally known as Chaitanya Mangala, and then was changed. And then there's another Chaitanya Mangala by
Lachandas
Thakur. And then there are other biographies which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't consider to be authentic. Either they were not authentic because they may have been, or they had some philosophical defects, or because some of the pastimes were not right, contrary to what these two personalities, Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote. Vrindavan Das Thakur is accepted as the incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. It's not particularly clear whether it's a direct incarnation or maybe you can look at Kavi Karnapur and see what he says, whether he's a direct incarnation or a power incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. In one sense, anyone who writes transcendental literature is empowered by Vyasadeva, or to the converse, if you're not empowered by Vyasadeva, you can't write transcendental literature. And therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami just touched on those things that Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote, and Vrindavan Das Thakur really spent a lot of time on Lord Chaitanya's his Adi Lila, his childhood pastimes, and some of his sort of later pastimes in Navadvip. And then as far as these pastimes in Jagannath Puri, he hardly mentioned those. So therefore, Kaviraj Goswami wrote about these later pastimes. And particularly he had access to these through Raghunath Das Goswami, who was actually there. And they were next door neighbors. They were about that far away from me to go. back of Krishna Kum, or Shyam Kum. So this verse is a verse that's actually written by Rupa Goswami, and it's found in his book Galilee.
Says that manifestation of Yas and Kusuma Vida.
So it's both the cowherd boy and Vyasadeva, manifestation of Vyasadeva. What does it say in the Bengali?
It's just a translation.
Oh. And this aspect that he's also a cowherd boy means that his mood of presenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila is actually from that perspective. It's from the perspective of a cowherd boy. Whereas Kaviraj Goswami is one of Srimati Radharani's associates, and therefore he presenting in his own particular mood or bhava. This verse is actually and hopefully we'll get that far, we'll get to the other verse. This is a response to a song that Lord Chaitanya used to sing, which was a very interesting song because it was what now we call a shlaga. Some kind of hit. It was a hit. It was a popular song. So it was a popular Karni song, which as 500 years ago, same as now, it's about love. So about the love and the lover. And no one could figure out why Lord Chaitanya was constantly singing this song throughout the Rath Yatra festival. And Swarupa Damodara Goswami knew, no one else said, and when Rupa Goswami, on the occasion that he visited Jagannath Puri and he heard Lord Chaitanya, then he wrote this verse, which was actually then an explanation of that. He wrote this verse, and then he also wrote another verse that elaborated further. So let's just do the Sanskrit briefly together, and then I'll read the translation. Priyasoham Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Militas.
Priyasoham Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Militas.
Taham Saradha Taridam Ubayo Sangama Sukam.
Taham Saradha Taridam Ubayo Sangama Sukam.
Tatyanta Kelam Maduramurali Panchamayushe.
Tatyanta Kelam Maduramurali Panchamayushe.
Manomi Kalindi Pudina Vipinaya Sprihayati.
Manomi Kalindi Pudina Vipinaya Sprihayati.
Priyasoyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Militas.
Priyasoyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Militas.
Tathaham Sarara Tariyam Upayo Sangama Sukham.
Tathaham Sarara Tariyam Upayo Sangama Sukham.
Tathiyanta Kelan Manura Murali Panchamayoshe.
Tathiyanta Kelan Manura Murali Panchamayoshe.
So this is Srimati Radharani speaking, which becomes obvious. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It's very pleasant, but still I would like to go to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan. I'll just find the verse on the screen. The actual verse was the Lord Chaitanya was singing, and it goes like this. Yakoma para sariva nivahanta viva chakrakshapasya chongi kamalati surabhya prabhagapadam dalila Sachaivam Siddhartha Gapta Svati Vyapara Vilavido Devaroda Siddhita Siddham Parichita Samutkantate. And the translation is, that very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights in the month of Chaitra, the same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I'm eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. So Prabhupada says that this is a verse, it's a hankering between an ordinary boy and girl. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood it in a different way. So Srimati Radharani is speaking this verse to Krishna at Kurukshetra. And so you know, Bhagavatam talks about this eclipse that took place, and all of the kings and many, like everybody more or less throughout India came to Kurukshetra for the observance. And at that time Krishna met the Brijvasis, they also went there. And although the eclipse took and the whole ceremony surrounding it took sort of a week or something like that, but then Krishna stayed there another 2 months. And then he went. And then from there he went back to Dwarka to kill Shalva. But in that period of time, Krishna also met with the gopis. And when he met with the gopis, then Srimati Radharani is expressing this feeling. Some of those, that meeting is described in the Bhagavatam. And Krishna's listening, and Radharani is saying that, now I've met my very old and dear friend Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he says, I'm the same Radharani, and now we're meeting together. And it's very nice, because now for such a long time, we've not seen each other. So, this is, after this is, I don't know, maybe 80 years, something like that. I can't remember the exact chronology. So a long time before Krishna and the Brijvasis met. So we're meeting together, it's very pleasant, but still I would like to go back to the Jamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan. So even though the Brijvasis are meeting with Krishna, but again, this mood is not really what they're used to. They're not used to Krishna being a big king, a kshatriya, like when he's in this form of Jagannath, and he's sitting on a chariot and surrounded by armies and elephants. So there's something really missing here, and what's missing is Krishna's sweetness and also Vrindavan. Krishna can't manifest that mood unless he is in Vrindavan. And so the Brijvasis want to bring him back. Rath Yatra in that sense is symbolic of that. They don't actually manage to bring him back because, as I mentioned, Krishna goes to Dwarka and he kills Salva. But from there, he comes back to Vrindavan, and then he stays there in Vrindavan for a couple of months, or 2 months, and then he goes back again to Dwarka. So, but this this mood of wanting to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan manifests in Lord Jagannath these feelings of separation. They're always there. The feelings of separation are always there to one degree or another. So Krishna is always, he's sort of haunted by this underlying spirit of separation from Vrindavan. And of course, the Brijvasis are haunted by a feeling of separation from Krishna. And And that feeling of separation is a very transcendental experience, which is an eternal relationship. It's an eternal relationship that both keeps love for Krishna fresh and always increases it. So Shakespeare said, parting is such sweet sorrow. So this concept of being separated from someone is actually a sweet sorrow, because it causes a very intense absorption in the person, if you love them, or if you care for them. If you don't, it makes no difference. And then you say, good riddance. I'm glad that he's gone. So, and we're talking about Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna and his associates, but we'll get to how that's also relevant to us as well. So, but because there's this strong bond of love between Krishna and his associates, and the Vrijvasis and Krishna, therefore, when Krishna is separated from them, then they become, they feel that separation, and that pangs of separation is there because of their great love for Krishna, in which they always want to serve Krishna and do what's actually best for Krishna. And the truth is that they know that although Krishna may first go to Mathura and then Krishna may go to Dwarka, but actually no one there really understands Krishna, and they actually can't really give him the type of happiness that Krishna wants. So they know that only they can do that. And interestingly, they never leave. Or they leave once, they do go to Dwarka, or at least they come close to the Lord, and Krishna actually meets them there. They don't stay with Krishna, they stay in Vrindavan. And so this feeling then becomes a very polarized effect, that they're feeling separated from the person that they love, and they stay separated, they stay physically separated, but that separation causes such an intense absorption that intense absorption results in many things. One is it results in a pleasure which is even superior to the pleasure of meeting Krishna. And therefore, sort of inconceivably, although for instance, Krishna's devotees always want to be with Krishna, but they actually hanker for the pleasure of being separated from Krishna because it's greater than being with him. And of course, that's a inconceivable tattva, inconceivable principle, but that's also there. So in Jagannath, this is also, there's also a reciprocal relationship of Jagannath also feeling great ecstasy in separation from Krishna, and the form of Lord Jagannath is the type of mahabhav, the type of physical transformations that take place in Krishna as a result of this type of separation. So there are different ecstatic symptoms, and we sing about them in the morning, the romancha, kampa, ashru, hair standing on end, trembling of the body, shedding tears from the eyes. These are sort of standard sattva, an eight ecstatic symptoms, sattvika vichar, ashta vichar. And they're experienced to different degrees according to one's level of spiritual advancement. But then there are other types of ecstatic symptoms that I mentioned before that you read about in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's in the mood of a devotee, and his separation from Krishna. So Jagannath is separated from devotees, and devotees are feeling separation from Krishna. That is, his whole body, his limbs enter into his body, so like a turtle. or that his limbs become so elongated that all the joints are like separated from each other, or the hand becomes separated from the arm by that much distance, or blood comes pouring from his. So this is some of them are very difficult for people to watch. These things are only there, these things are only manifest by Lord Chaitanya and Srimati Radharani. So these symptoms of ecstasy are also there, and we see the symptoms of ecstasy in Jagannath and his body becoming very stiff. You see that his hands enter into his arms, his feet and his legs, and that's why he has no feet and legs, because they enter into his trunks. And his body and his head more or less just become one. His eyes expand like that. And these are Jagannath's feeling symptoms of separation from Vrindavan. And this is Jagannath's sort of response to this particular prayer. Let me just read how Krishna describes these moods of separation. And Hungarians have read it. This is the first volume, and it shows what happens when Krishna falls into an ecstatic swoon of separation from Vrindavan, and how gradually he's brought out of that by being taken to this Gupta Vrindavan in Gorkha. Krishna speaking to Narada Muni, he says, "It's true that when one is parted from those one loves, pure love makes one suffer within as if from a blazing forest fire. The burning pain creates a remorse that further deepens into irrepressible sorrow. Thus at first, one seems wretched. But this anguish of separation is praised as greater than the happiness from enjoying with those one loves. Separation is so pleasing to the mind that it cannot be described. It always transforms at last into an abundance of pleasure. Only experts in tasting these moods can understand how this happens. After the pain of despair is relieved, one's heart feels fully satisfied, delighting constantly as one enjoys the great pleasure of meeting with one's beloved." This should say, as if one enjoys the great pleasure of meeting with one's beloved. "One may want to feel that separation again and may indeed feel distressed if he cannot. Thus a person who can remind one of a beloved not present is considered the most sincere and helpful friend. Please understand, when somehow made mindful of those one loves, one is given back one's life. Forgetting those more dear than one's own breath is more painful than dying. Those dear as life, one can never forget, but when reminded of them in a special way, one feels happy, like one who's lived a life of good fortune." I'm not reading Sanatana Goswami's commentaries, because they're even a little more mind-boggling. But here Krishna explains that at first this separation feels very painful, but when one enters into it and becomes absorbed in that person whom one is remembering, then it becomes more people in the windows.
Because
they're
working there.
Okay, but you're sleeping here, so rather than work in the sleep, at least they're awake. It's a very very bewildering thing. It's inconceivable, But it's very, very wonderful. And because time is short, we should just go to what relevance of this very exalted Krishna consciousness has to do with us. Because the overall mood is that we're separated from Krishna. And we're not transcendentalists who've met Krishna, like Srimati Radharani and the Vrijvasis, and been separated from Krishna. But at the same time, we are practicing devotees. And Krishna Bhakti Mukha Mona Bhakti Vancha Bhakti. However, it happened, we turned away from Krishna. And we are in a condition of being separated from Krishna. That we need to remind ourselves and be reminded of. So here Krishna says, the greatest misery is if you forgot, if you're in a forgetful position with the person that you love. When you're reminded of them, then you feel separation. So this is actually the principle of remembering Krishna. This is why we're meant to be remembering Krishna all the time. Satatam kirtanam tomam smartabhyam satatam yashuva. And to actually remember, well, yes, here we are, as Prabhupada would say, lying in the material world. And meanwhile, there are so many wonderful transcendental pastimes, Krishna's pastimes are going on in the transcendental realm. And why aren't we part of that? And why are we here thinking that we have something of value, we're trying to enjoy something here in this material world? And so we need to be aware of this fact that we are separated from Krishna, and we need to actually feel that separation. And so Srila Prabhupada gave us this very sublime, it's both simple and at the same time very deep, explanation for the chanting of the Maha Mantra. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. And when Prabhupada elaborated on that that record that he made, then Srila Prabhupada said that the mood should be just like a child who is separated from his mother. So when a child either is separated or thinks that they're separated, just like when we wake up and we're immediately looking for the mother may be right there, but still they're not aware of that, then immediately they start crying. So a devotee, and he said, this should be the mood by which one chants Hare Krishna. So what is mechanical chanting? When we don't chant with that mood, that we're calling out for Krishna, we're calling out for Krishna, we're calling out for Krishna's energy, O energy of the Lord. We're calling out to be engaged in service, whole gamut of different types of services that are described in Srila Prabhupada's books. We're engaging in service here, but actually our mood of service is that, is that we want to become re-established and accepted by Krishna, as Krishna is also eternal servant. So the constant meditation that is meant to be a meditation for Vaishnavas that one can assimilate if we actually read. How is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing this mood of separation? Sure, he was chanting Hare Krishna and they were talking about Krishna and they were doing so many services like recently the Gurudeva Arjuna. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially when he wasn't distracted by these other types of activities or his associate service, then he would become absorbed in this mood of Srimati Radharani being separated from Krishna. And then that's what Kaviraj Goswami explains, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's nighttime escapades in the association of Sarvabhaumadhar and Ananda Roy, were always just like when Krishna left Vrindavan, what was Srimati Radharani's mood? In other words, just when he left. In other words, it's very intense, it's a new experience. Krishna has not really left, and then he never left Vrindavan. Maybe he would go. There are different types of separation. There's a separation when Krishna is going out, for instance, he's going out with the cavalry boys, and he's separated from his parents. So that's one type of separation. There's another separation when Krishna's actually in the physical presence, but due to feelings of ecstasy, one doesn't know that, and that's another type of separation. But then there's another separation when Krishna actually leaves. It's not, it's just as part of his daily pastime, but when Krishna leaves Vrindavan. So Aitina Dayada Nata He Maturanata Kadava Lakshayana Krishna's Maturana. He's the Lord of Mathura. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sphere of separation was the same as that. Very devastating, very first, as Krishna was explaining at first, it's like a great misery. But now Krishna's gone. Krishna's never left before. Krishna's now left. He's gone to Vrindavan. He's gone from Vrindavan to Mathura. And when you read that and hear that, then the influence of that mood rubs off. That's what's called tadatma. When you hear, it's just like electricity. If you touch an electrical wire, you become tadatma with electricity. Someone touches you, they also get the same shock because electricity goes through you. So one of the features of transcendental sound is that according to the subject matter that one hears, shabda, then it electrifies, it liberates a person from one's mundane identity, and it gives you the opportunity to identify with a similar type of mood. Not the same, but it's similar. So that similar type of meditation, so Srimad Bhagavatam is about that. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna consciousness in writing. So when you contact Srimad Bhagavatam, then you naturally become Krishna conscious. It's like you chant, we haven't explained, you chant Hare Krishna. Why do you chant Hare Krishna? To become Krishna conscious. That connection with that sound vibration, you develop so many different moods of devotion come as one goes deeper and deeper into chanting Hare Krishna. It becomes the potency of the name. In the beginning, the chanting is not pure, then it's temporary, or at least the intensity of it is temporary. The benefit is always permanent, but it's very gradual. But then when one becomes chants purely, or chants with ecstasy and love, then that mood becomes very, very intense. And everything comes just from one thing. It just comes from chanting Hare Krishna, because ultimately everything is within the chanting of the Maha Mantra. So similarly, the same thing is there, that when we hear these moods of separation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then by contact with that thing, then that spirit of separation, we get a feeling for what that spirit of separation is. And therefore, it's one of our main transcendental literature that Vaishnavas are meant to be associating with. I'm saying reading, because reading is one thing, but associating and imbibing. And that way, that spirit of separation, that here I am in this material world, and what a big mistake. And now I'm separated from Krishna and back home, back to Godhead. That's why it's a motto. It's not just something on the top of the Back to Godhead magazine, but it's the motto, it's the logo of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. But if you only go back somewhere, so if you feel separated from it, if we feel comfortable where we are, we're in our comfort zone here in the material world, then you won't want to go back. And the only way that you can feel separated from something is if you hear about something. So if we don't hear, and if we're not in contact with Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Chaitanya, then you won't want to go, then you won't feel separated. They'll think, well, what's wrong with this material world? I'll just stay here and be Krishna conscious here. But no, it's good to develop that mood, and we should want to go back home, back to Godhead, because that will help us awaken and develop this mood of devotional service. Okay, there's a lot more, but I can't fit it in this time. But nonetheless, devotees can make their own effort, read what Srila Prabhupada says about this Viparanda Seva, service in separation. As the spirit or the mood by which devotees perform different types of devotional service, and which should be a underlying stratum of our Krishna consciousness, because it becomes the motivation. When you're separated, then you want to meet. When you're not separated, you don't want to meet, and then things can easily become very mechanical. Okay, we're sort of running over time. So we'll stop here, and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Jai. Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.